Good Life. I'm Dean Wilson. I'm so glad you're with us, wherever you are. If you're joining us on television here in the Santa Barbara area at TVSB, we welcome you. And so many of you are joining us around the world at goodlifetelevision.org and the YouTube channel and social media and all these platforms. The podcast is also there. We see that the traffic has increased. So if you're a podcast person, you can go to any podcast platform and you can search under Good Life Conversations. Good Life Conversations is the podcast platform. So find us anywhere, even Twitter, the darkest place in the world where everybody fights. We don't fight. We bring light. It's fun. So join us even at Twitter. And we're brought to you, as always, by Bunnin Chevrolet. So we're grateful for Leo and our friends at Bunnin. I'm really excited about my guest today. I'll tell you all about it. It's very fun. Keith and Laura Galloway are with me. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Nice
this
to
is
be
funny.
Here.
So Laura and I, we went to Westmont together for a period. She was kind of a legend. She was Laura Hayes back then. She was a Westmont volleyball player. My wife is sitting right over there. She was a volleyball player. You always encouraged her, by the way.
I think it's the other way around.
Did you give her a nickname?
I did give her a nickname.
Ray
of Light.
Ray of Light.
Ray of Light.
Her maiden name is Ray.
Yes, her maiden
name
is Ray.
That was encouraged. It's amazing how we remember all these things from those times.
It's a well-deserved nickname, I'll just say
she
that.
Is a
she earned
Light.
It every
God,
day.
She earned because, it since.
See, playing sports in college is grueling, but playing with someone like her makes it not so grueling.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Yeah. So they have two daughters, Hallie and Emma. Hallie just got married. She's living in Hawaii. Where's Emma?
Emma is at Vanguard University.
Vanguard.
Yeah, and she's playing beach volleyball for them.
Oh, is she
really? They just won the national tournament.
No way.
This year, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot to catch up on.
We do.
Okay, so it's been 28 years or whatever, so here we are. How have the last 28 years been?
We can sum it up quick.
Yeah. Keith, I want to start by thanking you for your service to the country
Thank you.
10 years active duty in the Navy. And then 10 years in reserves is my understanding.
That's correct.
And I know that's not easy for the person or the family. And I know all the work you guys have done since with families and veterans and sanctuary retreat and all that. I'm really honored to sit with you.
Thank you.
It's a high calling. Did you always know you wanted to do that?
I did not. I grew up in San Diego, four brothers, and we didn't have a lot of money growing up, and so I knew either I was going to get an athletic scholarship somewhere or I was paying for wherever I went to school. And as I got closer, you know, to my graduation in high school, I was being recruited by some smaller schools, but Army and Navy were the two D1 programs that were recruiting me for football. And at first, I my two older brothers had gone to Navy, and so I knew the difficulties of, you know, going to a service academy, and I knew there's no way I was going to West Point. So I told the Army recruiter, I said, no, thank you. And then Navy, initially I said to my parents, no. And then as I got closer, I thought, well, I do want to play D1 football in college, so I'll go to the Naval Academy, totally oblivious to the fact that, you know, it's going to be mean a life of service.
Yeah.
And what that meant and everything. But that's what got me on that journey.
What position did you play?
I was recruited as a running back and ended up playing safety.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
What a great experience that is.
It was, I loved playing. I will say what still resonates with me today about that experience were the relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, even yesterday we were communicating with the gentleman who played middle linebacker for us, was a Navy SEAL and was the best man in our wedding. Amazing, amazing man. I would say, you know, the life lessons that come out of playing, like Laura referred to earlier. I mean, playing college sports it's not for the faint of heart.
Right. Absolutely. Wow. Okay. So take us from graduation day at the academy, 1996, right?
That's correct.
What do the next 10 years look like for you?
I was absolutely fortunate enough to get an opportunity to go to flight school. My class was the first class that they basically allowed you to interview, like I could interview for the job that I wanted to do in the Navy. Prior to that, it was all pretty much based on academic you know, standing in the class, and mine wasn't the best. So for all the listeners out there who are struggling, there's still hope. So I was able to go to flight school, and we were married partway through flight school. Amazing. You said the legendary Laura Hayes, and she was absolutely that for me, you know, from high school and through college. And so that was an amazing, I didn't even know how good I had it when I married, 25 and a half years ago, but my goodness, what a blessing. And then we had Hallie, our oldest daughter, a year after we got married. It was faster than we wanted, but amazing blessing to you. And so went through flight school. I started out thinking I wanted to fly helicopters, then wanted to fly jets. And then when I got to graduation, I decided I want to fly propellers. So I flew a P-3. And I loved it. It was an amazing experience. We were stationed in Florida, Texas, Washington State. And the P-3 is pretty much extinct now. It's an older airframe, but Submarine Hunter and Crew of 11, which I loved. I'm a team-oriented person, so yeah. I enjoyed that.
Wow. And what? Talk to us about the transition back to life, civilian life, and what that's like for somebody.
Yeah, so every transition in anyone's life is a potentially difficult one. For the veteran in particular, it is difficult, and it's surprisingly difficult. It's amazing that how many people actually struggle in that phase, not just the veteran, but also the families. For me, you know, my last deployment, Emma was born 5 days after I left. I left in December of 2001. And we were obviously extremely busy that deployment. There and Laura struggled with postpartum depression. I didn't get to meet my daughter for quite some time.
This is right after 9/11.
This is right after 9/11. Yep. Yeah. And so, you know, fast forward a couple of years, that taste was still in my mouth of when it was time to get out. And I was like, oh, I am not staying in the Navy. I am done with this. Yeah. And, you know, a few years after that transition, I was working at a bank, and I will never forget this morning. I was getting dressed, and I was, you know, dressing similar to how I'm dressed today. And I saw my flight suit hanging in the back of the closet, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I just, it wasn't necessarily just the flying. I loved flying. I missed the people. I missed the mission. I missed that, just everything about that. And, and I didn't realize how much I missed it. And that was a journey for us to process.
Yeah. The bank office is not going to be the same. No offense to wonderful
bank,
banker.
But
no,
yeah.
It was confusing to me this time because he was home every night. Banker's hours are like 9 and 2, you know? Yeah. He was coaching our girls' softball team, and we had mornings every morning. We drove the girls to the bus, and he was the least happy he'd ever been. And I thought maybe it was my fault. It was a very confusing time of like, wow, we no longer have to be gone. You're here now. We're coming out of the fog of all of the deployments, and
now what do we do?
Broke him. Mm. Yeah.
And I'll say, you know, going back to your question about is the transition difficult? It is, but I think it's difficult for a few reasons. And my journey in my transition was, in a lot of senses, unhealthy, because I really hadn't prepared to the point where I was okay not wearing the flag on my sleeve and still being patriotic. You know, I wasn't in a spot mentally and emotionally where I could say, hey, I'm not part of that team anymore, but I'm still part of a team, and that experience is still valuable to me, even though I'm not in it anymore, you know? And so, so it took a while for me to get there. And I just didn't know that I had to get there until I realized I wasn't there, you know? So there was like some catch up to do.
And so what happened in your faith in that, in those moments?
So I will say that has been a journey as well.
Yeah.
Because in that time, we were leading a youth group. I was and still am a follower of Jesus. I love Jesus, and I know he loves me. And so that was, I think, another element that was added on for Laura and I both that was confusing as to why is this a struggle for me right now?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of prayer and a lot of, a lot of, I think just in some ways retrospective, like, okay, Lord, how have I veered off this path?
Yeah.
How did I get here? Let's backtrack a little bit. Help me get back. And get my heart into a spot where it wasn't about me. And I think that's where it had gotten. It was just focused on what do I miss about service? What do I need in my career versus like, Lord, where do you want me and how do you want to use me?
Yeah. And how did you work together through this transition?
Being a Navy wife, so I will say after the 10 years, during that time, he left the bank and went back into the Navy for 10 more years. And flew for 10 more years and had a 9-month deployment in there as well.
Oh, wow.
I remember having a conversation with him when he was saying, I'm unhappy with the bank. And I said, your life is too short to do something you don't love. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I will support you in whatever it is you're feeling called to do, as long as you're feeling called somewhere and not running from something else.
Right.
And that's been a 10-year, I think, 15, 20-year journey for us since that day of, like, how do we make sure, that we're going to something we're called rather than leaving something we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Being a Navy wife was not at all in my vision. I totally didn't think I had the skills for it by any means. And yet it was the best adventure we've had. It has shaped, I think, who we and how we experience the world today.
Yeah.
We were able to put stuff, the things we own, in a place really early on because we moved to Naples, Italy, and they lost a crate of our stuff off the boat or something. And, just like, okay, well, stuff is stuff, right. And it can be replaced, but people aren't. And so it forced us to have that really, I think, pivotal conversation about what we value, what are first things, and how do we ensure first things are first, and not get that reversed. Also, I think through the journey of being a spouse to this man who was in the service, delight is the word that comes to mind. I always missed him when he was gone and have always loved him when he's back. There isn't much confusion for me on that. And I think being a Navy wife has kind of helped with the ebbs and flows of the chaos of that experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got real clear early on about how much I loved him and how committed I was.
Oh.
I told you I married up.
God likes you, right? God really likes us.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
You're a powerhouse person. Mm-hmm. Like at Westmont, you were ever since all the stuff you've done in higher education, all the stuff, you're this board and committee and this project and this, and like, you're almost, it sounds to me almost like you've got, you're the wife to him, you're a Navy wife, you're the mom to two girls and
best job ever,
and who are just amazing. And then you've got your own whole enterprise like that you're running. How did you juggle all this?
I was fortunate enough, actually, to, when he first got out that first 10 years, I was fortunate enough to get a job at the Christian school where we met, and that our girls actually got to go to school. So there was about 5 years there or so where I was working there and got to drive into school with them every day, was coaching volleyball there and their teams. He was coaching one of the baseball teams there. And that was a really sweet time. It was also the time where he felt there's the suffering of the transition was also happening. And during that time, I started, I will say this. My first job out of Westmont College after we got married was coaching at an inner city school in South Texas. I was coaching volleyball and teaching PE. And I loved it so much. I was like, well, this is it for me. Teaching is it. But it's hard to do when you move every year and a half or so. Right. So I went and got a master's degree because the teaching job required that I get advanced degrees. I went and got a master's degree in organizational leadership because I wanted to be a better coach. I wanted to learn how to lead people better and how to create transformation. And I love that subject so much that I went and continued on and got more degrees, more education, and that led to teaching in higher ed. And I loved it. And now I'm the associate dean for the School of Business for an online school, University of Massachusetts Global. And I love it. And I have been able to piece together this sort of a career that hasn't made me choose. And this is a blessing between my family or my career. The career was cooking on the back burner, literally. And anytime I had to choose between the two, I always chose my family, and it doesn't seem to have had a negative impact on my career.
So you were Zoom before it was cool.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What amazing. So you're in California as an associate dean of UMass Global.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So you were getting all those degrees while you had the little girls?
Just chipping away at it. I had to take leave of absence different times. He went on a 9-month deployment, as I had mentioned. And I was working on my PhD at the time, and I just took a break from that and said, my girls need my eye contact time, and I need their eye contact time while he's gone. So, yeah, just
wow.
Did what I could when I needed to do it. But I'm not an ambitious person, but I'm hardworking. There's a big difference. I'm not very ambitious. It sounds like I am. I'm not. Just hardworking.
But you decide what you're going to do, and you just do it.
I just do it. I just chip away at it when I can. Yeah.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about your girls. And son-in-law.
And now son-in-law.
Yeah.
Like anybody's kids, they're it's so fun to see as they've grown older how they are, you know, pieces and parts of Laura and I, in their personality and how they, like Hallie is so hardworking. And she's very much like me. I am a put my head down and just go through a wall to get something done. Laura is a work smarter, not harder. And, you know, she'll figure out how to maneuver well. That's Emma. It's so fun. Athletically, because we're similar in that, you know, athletically, I'm going to run down the field and hit somebody. And Laura is an amazing athlete, but also like on the court as far as like an athlete. She's very mental in how she approaches a game. She's strategic. She's like, she knows the game. She studies it. Again, I'm like, I'm going to put my head through you, you know. And so seeing that play out, Hallie was an amazing outside hitter at Westmont. Phenomenal athlete. She can swing, like put the ball down. Emma's very smart and knows the strategy of the game. And so it's fun to see those differences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hallie was an art major at Westmont. And she was part of the team her junior year that made it as far as any volleyball team has gone, second in the nation. She was the outside hitter for that.
Wow.
So that was fun to watch that journey with her. Hallie also, like me, is an extreme introvert as well. And so just has art was her expression and her voice. And that was wonderful to watch her journey through her art. And now is a writer and loves to write. And the discipline part, her junior year in high school decided she wanted to write a book. So she disciplined herself 2 hours every day to write her novel, and she would do it every day without fail. I think she's still doing
she's
it
still
today.
Writing, yeah.
Just a hard worker. Emma has changed her major a couple times. You know, she studies everything. She's got she will put together a plan. She always has a plan. So she is just extremely strategic is the best word to describe her. And they're both just delights. They bring
Does
so
Emma
much
know
joy.
What she wants to do after Vanguard?
Not yet.
Yeah. Emma can have a room laughing and dancing.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. She's hilarious.
She just got back from a 2-week missions trip in Ireland. last night.
Really?
Yeah.
And the little videos we've seen have been phenomenal.
Yeah. So fun. She was the MC of the kids' camp.
Yeah. These are powerhouse. You guys are a powerhouse. The whole family. Are you going to plant here, Santa Barbara, as far as you know?
It's a great question. As far as we know, yes. I actually tell people, as many homes as we've had and many places that we've lived, this feels more like home than any other place I've been. God's going to have to work out a whole bunch of miracles, and he can to make that work. There's no doubt in my mind that he can.
We're with you.
He has our yes, and anytime we give him our yes, it always blossoms into something more beautiful than I can imagine.
I agree. Well, if you guys are going to be here, then we're here. We can be friends.
Absolutely.
Done.
Yeah.
Accepted. We're in. We'll be here tomorrow.
My son plays safety.
Where?
Santa Barbara High.
Oh, wonderful.
So I need you to, like, coach him up.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you play in a bowl game?
Is
that a bad question? Sorry.
It's not. My 4 years we were there, we were not very good. I think our best record was like 5-6 or something. The year after I graduated, they had a winning season and beat Cal in the Aloha Bowl.
Really?
In Hawaii.
No,
I was watching from home. Like, 1 year.
You just missed it.
Yeah, so, that's cool.
So you've done a lot of work with, you have an interest in veterans, transition.
Yes.
There's a podcast out there you can find for the Galloways. There's been on the board of Sanctuary Retreat, which is an amazing, is that still going?
It's still going. I got them through COVID essentially. I had to step down from that. As I mentioned, when I have to choose between family, right. I always choose family. I had to step down from the Project Sanctuary Board because my dad had fallen, broken his hip, and was dealing with some early Parkinson's and dementia.
Oh.
And so we moved in and helped with that during COVID. And I couldn't juggle career, child in high school, or trying to get a child through high school through COVID, which was difficult. And then also support my parents.
So
that had to drop to the wayside, but they are still doing retreats, and they are doing wonderful things and healing families who are in service.
What's the name of the podcast? I don't think you're recording anymore, but it's out there. What is the name of it?
It's called Homebound Veteran.
Homebound Veteran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's on any platform.
Any podcast. So Homebound Veteran, if you want to listen to that, that's a great, man, that's a lot here. So what has God made clear to you, to whatever degree you can understand it or are clear about it, about what the future holds?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, anytime I have to look at my resume, I think this thought has come up to me of like, a resume is great because it tells what I've done. But it has nothing really to do. It can be somewhat of a predictor of what I'm going to do, but it definitely isn't an assurance of what I'm going to do. And, Laura referred to this or said this earlier, is like, Jesus has our yes. And so what we do on a daily basis, you know, tomorrow, but next year is continues to show up and say yes to Jesus. I love, there's Proverbs 14:4. It says, where there are no ox, the stable is clean, but abundant crops come by the work of an ox. And so, you know, the work of the Lord can be messy. We've seen that. And yet we're not going to have a harvest unless we get in there and roll up our sleeves and do the work.
Yeah.
And so, you know, part of that is showing up and saying yes. We have a heart for, we've led youth groups, we're obviously engaged in sports and athletics, and so we've linked up with FCA here in Santa Barbara, and really, like, the Warners are just amazing people. We actually just got back from Kansas City yesterday, so we're starting to work with FCA. We have a heart for the children, the next generation that are coming up, and I shouldn't even say children, young men and women, high school, college, who I feel like are in a very formative stage and period in their lives where they're trying to figure out, who am I, where am I going, who is this, you know, God, and am I going to follow them and follow him? And so I just feel like Laura and I have a wonderful opportunity to speak into that process.
I love that. So. That's that. You should do that. I love it. Yeah. FCA is great, but I mean, just young men. Yeah. I can just see you doing that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so, I think about that all the time, just because we have two teenage boys, mm-hmm. you know, 17 and 15. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, do they need mm-hmm. training and guidance and hope and vision. And mm-hmm. and you know what the thing is about the service that you've done? Mm-hmm. There's nobility. Mm-hmm. I think nobility, and for young men especially, young women as well, is kind of a lost thing. I want to do something noble with my life. Mm. Like, they think about that at the Naval Academy. Mm. They don't think about that at Santa Barbara High. Just, you know, I'm not breaking any news, I don't think. But I mean, it's not like a noble calling, something about other people, patriotism, service above self. Like, I just, these are kind of some throwback things now, almost, that I feel like guys like you and I need to keep and us going. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
I'm not trying to give a speech here. But
no.
It resonates for sure.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right on. And I think, too, at this age is, you know, part of it is, why am I here on this earth?
Yes.
And you
it
know,
can't
some,
be for TikTok alone.
No.
There must be something out there.
It's very empty.
But that's the,
it's all empty.
That's the low-hanging fruit, right, is social media, video
numbing,
games.
Numbing.
You know, I'm not throwing stones. But I do think, like, it does take work. It does take being purposeful. And, you know, like you mentioned, of having vision of, it's not going to magically appear this amazing life where you can say, hey, I've done something valuable.
Right.
You got to put the work in every
That's
day.
Right. That's right. That's right. Oh, I love that.
And I should say, you got to put the work in, but it's in partnership with the Lord. And when that's the case, then that's a great journey.
He can do anything. Yeah. That's what amazes me about God is how big he is. I love your little thing. He has our yes. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. We're in. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, Lord, you know, especially when you've been through some suffering and you've been down some journey, some roads, and like, you know, the answer is yes. I don't know what the question is necessarily. The answer is yes. You know, that's kind of a simple way of, okay, I don't know what it is, but it's yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's beautiful. Yeah. I love this. Mm-hmm. We're out of time. We're out of time already. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Great road.
Love
great.
It.
Yeah, testimony. Great to be with you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.